Hello, this is Doug Rademacher. I'm with the Fisher Body Historical team, and we are interviewing Ken Slate today. It is October 10th, approximately 10 minutes to 10 in the a.m., and we are in the Labor Relations Conference Room of the Fisher Body plant. Good morning, Ken. Would you please state your name, address for the record?
Ken Slate. 2205 West Tamarack Road, Lake Odessa, Michigan.
Are you married?
Yep.
Do you have any children?
Three kids. Five grandkids.
And your years of education?
Got a BS in education from Central.
Central being Central Michigan University?
Yep.
Okay. And did you have any military service?
No.
We're going to ask questions about your life or the history of your life at Fisher Body. I'd like to ask you about your hiring in. Do you would you share your seniority and your hire in date?
I hired in September 76. I actually moved back to Michigan from Florida and was going to go to teaching, and I found out they were hiring here. So I applied, and they hired me the following week. So I started out on the line, up in trim, the old cutlass line.
So you hired into trim. That's the department in which you hired in. Which shift did you hire on to?
Second shift.
Can you tell me about your first day on the job, walking into the plant?
Same kind of massive to start with. I could try to memorize how to get to where I was supposed to go the next day, but it was different. I'd never been in the factory before, so a little scary, I guess.
Do you remember your first job? What assignment did they put you on?
I think they moved me around just a little bit, but then the first job they wanted me to learn, really, was to put the rubber tape on the windshield, on the cutlass.
So what was the purpose of the rubber tape?
The rubber tape at that time held back the urethane to keep the water out when you install the windshield.
The area, did it have robots at that time?
No robots.
So it was all done manually?
All manually.
Did you, I heard you just say that you came from Florida and something about teaching?
I taught in Florida for 5 years. Mathematics, a couple years in junior high, and 3 years in senior high. Decided to come back to Michigan, so I'm from here.
Did you have any relatives that worked here?
No. I had a relative in Lake Odessa. That's how I ended up there. I grew up in Hesperia. It's over north of Muskegon, about 20 miles.
So tell us about the department in which you worked. You said it sounds like the urethane area. What were the people like? Did they treat you, when you were new, or did they treat you friendly, or what was the atmosphere in which you found yourself working?
People were friendly. The one funny thing I remember is there was a lady there that was ex-military, and apparently it was her job to check the new guy's belly buttons. Or maybe all the new hires, I'm not sure, but I don't know. Just a joking around thing they did, I guess. She's still here. I don't know where she's assigned to.
Do you remember her name?
I can't remember her name.
Did she check your belly button?
She checked everybody's belly button.
Is that Sarge Nancy?
Yep, that's who it was. She's still working here, isn't she? I saw her not long ago.
Yeah.
So you had... That must have been interesting for someone to want to see your belly button. Here you thought you were coming to build vehicles. Do you remember which vehicle you started building?
Cutlass.
Cutlasses. Did you ever purchase a cutlass?
No, I don't think I've ever had a cutlass.
Just wondered if you built the product that you made. Tell me about, you said you hired in on the second shift. Lake Odessa is about 30, 40 miles out.
Yeah, about 45 minutes.
So what was it like to work the second shift and your family life?
I didn't see the kids much during the week. They would be off to school still when they left and in bed asleep till they got home. That was kind of hard on them, I guess, but they made pretty good money to make a living on. So.
Okay. Did your time in the plant, you had a place, we had a time when we changed names from Fisher Body to the BOC. Do you remember that time? And what was your feelings when you lost the name Fisher Body? Did it have an impact on you?
You still had to call it Fisher Body or nobody knew what you were talking about, so it really didn't matter. You still call it Fisher Body if you want somebody to know exactly where you were.
How long did you do the urethane, Jim?
I guess a couple. Well, no, I only did it until I got my 90 days in, because then I got laid off for the weekend or something, and I leveled off and ended up in the body shop, grinding solder, 50 grit or whatever they call it. I stayed right there until return rights got me out of there, got me back to trip.
So were you glad to have return rights back to trim? Or
I was glad to get out of there, yeah. The next morning after I first run that machine, I couldn't open my hands up. I just had to pry them open with your other hand.
So did you ever think about the people that work that job on a day-to-day basis compared to you up in the urethane department?
Yeah, after I left. You had to have regular blood tests to make sure there wasn't lead in your blood. You had to wear a hood with air blowing on you. I didn't like the job.
For the people who don't know what that booth is and what you actually do in there, could you describe the booth and the protected equipment and things that you needed to have in order to go into that booth and what the people actually did in there?
Outside the booth, they put hot solder on the seam between the quarter panel and the roof. It's about probably a foot long. And then as soon as you got into the booth, where you had... Well, you had water underneath and then the air cycling down through it and it tried to suck the lead out of the air. The first job was to run a 50 grit sander and try to shape it some. And then the next job was a finer sand to get it more of a finished look. You had to wear a hood, came down below your waist, and you had to hook it up to an air outlet and it blew air for you to breathe inside. I know when I first did it, it blew the air right on my eyeballs and dried them out so bad they were all scratchy. I thought something was in there, so I ended up going down to the hospital and had it all checked out. There was nothing in there. It was just dried out from that air blowing on me.
So this is definitely not a job that was a highly sought after job.
Job somebody you would get off of as soon as you had a chance to get an opening or something. One of the pranks they used to do in there was to put a little water where you hook up, so when you hooked up, you got sprayed right in the face. People thought it was funny, I guess. I don't know.
Did you ever do that to anybody? Pay back?
Yeah, I think I paid people back, probably. It wasn't like a flood of water, but enough to where you had to take the hood back off and dry things out so you could see.
So they'd heard that your eyes were dry down at the hospital, so they had somebody put a little water in your hose, huh?
Fix you up, yeah.
Oh. So you were glad to get back to trim. Did you go right back to the sealer, or did you just get return rights back to the trim department?
Just back to trim department.
Then what did you do?
First job after I got back, I think, was when the first area where they came out of paint. something to do with wiring, or either a wiring or that molding that goes on the outside edge of the door. I'm not sure which one I got first. Not long after that, I ended up on utility so I could move around and not do the same thing all the time.
You volunteer for that, or were you put on that?
Volunteer for that.
So you looked for variety, so you weren't doing the same thing?
Something to kill the boredom, yeah.
So I know that it says here that you had moved into trades after a few years, but can you tell me, when you were on the line, what was the best job you had on the line?
Best job? I don't know what that would be.
Can you tell me your worst job?
Worst job, I guess, is reaching in the doors and trying to hook things up in there because sleep was so sharp. No matter what job you got on, after you were on it for a while, it got pretty boring. Your mind goes somewhere else, and then you wonder if you did that job, so you have to run back and look. You've probably done that before, haven't you?
Oh, definitely. Always start second-guessing yourself. If you gain a few moments ahead, you had to wonder whether you did that last job. That's definitely. Did you experience the wagon? Was that here when you...
The wagon, yeah. Shut the line down and go buy something from the wagon.
Can you share a little bit about that? A lot of people, a lot of assembly plants and people that are going to listen to this don't understand what that was.
It was just a total shutdown of the line so everybody could take a break all at one time. And the cafeteria people had little carts and brought it out with sandwiches and sweet things and chips and whatever they could get on there they thought you might like. It's kind of a good idea, I thought.
That's kind of pre-vending machine days.
Yeah, you didn't lose your money in the machine and not get anything back for it.
You said a moment ago about getting your 90 days in. Were you under any stress at that time prior to getting your 90 days? Was there ever a time where you were led to believe you might not get your 90, or...
Several times, because I kept bringing over someone to learn my job so that then they could lay me off. But they brought over the wrong people, and they had too much seniority. They didn't have to take that job. They'd go somewhere else, and then they'd start again.
What's the significance of 90 days?
In the union. Locked into a job. Unless there's a big layoff or something.
Did you ever have a layoff?
Well, I actually got laid off after I got my 90 days and had to level off. Ended up in the body shop, but I didn't lose any time. I got laid off, changeovers and stuff when I was on production. What else did I take? I took a voluntary layoff one time on the trades, but that was only like a week. I've never missed more than a week or two or anything.
So, was there ever a break in your seniority?
No. Kept right on going.
And did you ever take part in a strike?
Yeah, we were on strike part of a week that time. It's the only time I remember. I know it didn't get to my turn to walk the picket line and we were back to work already.
Do you remember the cause of the strike?
Contract, I guess. I mean, I don't know what the big issue was then.
What was your feelings about going on strike? Did you support it or were you against?
No, I supported it.
You said that you went from the production over to the skilled trades arena.
Mm-hmm.
What is your trade and how long have you been in the arena?
Electrician for 24 years.
Are you still actively
still an electrician? Yeah.
So are you getting additional training at this time to go to the Delta?
Training and meetings on new equipment. That's what they got us doing now.
Were you are you a facilities electrician, or are you out of a particular department?
Right now I'm GA. Didn't have enough seniority to facilities. There are only like three on each shift or something.
What is GA?
Trim. General assembly. Trim, chassis, final. My area is going to be wheel room and final line. Unless I change your mind before then.
How will your job change in comparison to what you did here in the facility compared to what the expectations are at the new facility?
Well, it's back to troubleshooting again. I spent, after I got out of the apprenticeship, I started out in the body shop on the layout side frame with a guy named John Phillips. He's retired now. And then I went to the, they tore that out and I switched to a trunnion side frame system. I was there the whole time that was in and tore that out and they went to the, what they call that third system. And it's just a side frame area and they had carriers that moved the parts around instead of the trunnion system. Worked there with several different guys, and then I got off of that into the building maintenance part, which is the facilities. I did that for 5 or 6 years. Now I'm back on production job again. Facilities has less stress to it. You're not holding a line up. Everybody's wanting you to get it done right now. Kind of a different atmosphere, I guess.
When you talk about the body shop and the trunnion and the side frame areas and things like that, could you tell me a little bit about the work that you did there versus what you mean by facilities maintenance and the type of work that particular group did?
The body shop stuff is all keep it running, so production can keep going. You're working with robots and automated machines and the first line had hydraulic robots and a kind of a rail system that lifted up and picked up the side frame and shuttled down and lowered back down. And it was just all production, how to keep it running, how to make it bang 60 an hour out without falling apart all the time, beefing things up, making it so it didn't rub, learning what repairs you had to do on the robots. Sometimes it was just a matter of where to kick it, keep it going.
When you say that, knowing that Lansing Car Assembly was one of the highest productivity plants in America, how could that, you know, looking at the way you said, where you had to kick it to keep it running, or did you ever think about what it must be like to work in some other plant that if we were the best and highest productivity, how could that possibly be?
Yeah, that crosses your mind quite a bit sometimes. People go out somewhere and then they come back and say, boy, they're glad to be back. It's just a mess over there where they went. And you knew what kind of mess you were working with. It was kind of hard to understand.
And you said you moved into the facility maintenance. What exactly is facility maintenance?
Building maintenance is running pipe and pulling wire to install things. It's lighting. It's some trouble calls with the pipe fitters on pumps and things that aren't working. But mostly it's not related to production unless it's a ceiling lighting or something like that. But it's nothing that pulls a line.
So in the electrician's arena, a facility maintenance would probably be one of the more preferred jobs?
High seniority. I didn't go for a long time because if I was the low seniority over there with all the high seniority, I'd be the one shipped out to cover somebody that was gone or something. So I just stayed in the body shop.
Now, did you work as a team in your group or as a group, or more than two people, or were you working alone with maybe another skilled trades from another arena?
First assignment in the body shop, there was two electricians that worked together, plus a pipe fitter and a tool. And then the next assignment we had, I think we started out with four or six electricians, and the time I left there was only three, along with a pipe fitter and a millwright, or a tool.
Now that was for the whole entire body shop? Or just for your particular
just my area?
Area. And how many areas, as far as production area, how many actual supervisors' areas did you cover under your area? Did they have like...
Just one production supervisor.
Just one production supervisor.
So you didn't have to like maintain all of the body shop, and it was just one specific area?
Just one side of the car was built. Most of the time it was on, we built the right side. The left side was just a flip-flop of it.
And how many groups like that, like you were involved with, how many different groups was there for one whole department?
You got left and right side frame, that's two different areas, and you got two different lines, so you got four just side frame areas. And you got the two car track areas. I never worked in underbody.
So you're talking about quite a few.
Quite a few areas, yeah.
Now, will that change? Will the numbers change when you go out to the Delta plant? Or are they going to continue to do the same as far as working in groups and having as many groups?
I think the body shop's set up the same. There'll only be one line this time. But I don't know how they're dividing up because I'm not out there.
Do you have a favorite partner? And why do you have partners?
A lot of times you have a partner because you got one person out there moving something and somebody else looking to see if it's making a difference over here. See if you're getting the signal back. Besides, it's safer in case somebody gets hurt if you got somebody else right there. Plus, you got two heads better than one idea. And it depends on the size of the area, too. Sometimes one guy just couldn't cover it, couldn't be there. Different thing about trades in the production arena is the better you do your job, the better it runs, the less they need you. So if you work all the bugs out of something, pretty soon you lose a man, and you keep working bugs out, and you lose another man. It's just the way it is, I guess.
Is that in trades or production?
Trades. Production probably does too as they get jobs moved around so that it works better.
You said that you work as together as partners for safety. Have you, in your time here, experienced any thing at all that would relate to the safety, either good or bad, I guess? Things that may have happened in your experiences?
Knock on wood, I've never been hurt. But I did put a production manager's hair off. Got the fire out of it one time. Those hairdos that are poof things full of hairspray, it was burning, so I used my glove, patted it out. The only thing she ended up with was a little burn on her neck.
Oh, I'd heard about that in the body shop because of all the sparks.
Yeah, the spark got in the hair.
Caught her hair on fire.
I'm sure she's grateful. So you'd notice an increase in the interest of safety over the years from when you first hired him?
A lot more safety conscious than they ever were. A lot more that they insist you lock things out instead of just wanting you to get it fixed right now, worrying about safety later. It's a lot more, way more safety conscious than they ever were.
Is lockout something that they do in every department, or can you explain what lockout is and how that
lockout's just putting a lock on something so it can't move, locking out the air and electricity or putting a post in so gravity can't make it, let it drop, or so you can't get pinched or electrocuted or
whatever. As an electrician, do you know anybody that's ever had problems with being electrocuted or somebody forgetting to turn things off and or anything like that? Have you ever seen anything like that?
Let's see. There was a contractor who got hurt pretty bad on a bus. And he was working on it and then come back from break and it was hot. There was another one that was installing a bus plug on a hot bus and then blew up on it.
What is a bus?
Bus is your 480 volts running long in the ceiling and all over the shop that you hook all your power to. The rules are now you can't hook a bus plug up with the bus hot, it's got to be shut on. It used to be you would measure the bus plug and put it in hot, and that's the way everybody did it. They went from everybody doing it hot to you didn't have to do it hot unless you wanted, and you had to wear a suit, and then now they're saying don't do it hot at all and shut it off. If nothing shorted out, there was no problem, but if something shorted either between the two of the wires or to ground, it'd make a big fire and melt things.
You could become the conductive component, huh?
You could get a big ball of fire come right at you.
Yeah.
But I never did that. I'm not glad.
There's a lot of danger inherent to your job if you are not aware of your surroundings and keeping up with all the proper safety.
What was your feeling about working with women and minorities?
I never had trouble working with women or minorities, really. They could do the job. There were women teachers where I was teaching. There was always women in college when I went, and it wasn't an ingrained thing or something I was used to, not being around women or anything.
Did you consider your co-workers brothers and sisters, as the union calls them?
Yeah, brothers and sisters are close friends, pretty much.
How long do you plan on working? Do you plan on retiring in the near future, or do you plan on keep on working?
I'm thinking 3 to 5 years more. I'll only be 58 when I get my 30 in next year, so somewhere between there and 62. I'll be taking, unless I'm having too much fun or something, I guess.
Is there any special friends or relationships that you've developed over your time frame here that you've extended out to do activities outside of the plant with some of the co-workers?
I've got a few friends here. Some I just see occasionally. Others do projects together. Or holler. Some that are in Lake Odessa and help each other out when they have something going on. Get together and visit him. But kind of close to John Phillips, he was the first journeyman that I worked with after I finished my apprenticeship. Taught me a lot of stuff about the welding, how to run weld cables and things you could change on the weld gun to make it work better.
When you first became an electrician, did they have any
initiations.
Yes, initiations that they pulled on the electricians. Was there something that they did to the new ones coming in, or something that they told you to go look for a particular job or a particular area, and there was no such thing, or any kind of pranks or things that they did to anybody?
I don't remember being a whole lot. I know the John Phillips that I worked with for so long, he always knew who was jumpy and who wasn't. He liked to make a jump. He'd come up behind somebody and touch him. And the one guy used to say Chingao just real loud, and I never did hear even what it meant. He would yell it out, and then they would have a snake. He had a little snake that was wood, and it was wiggly, and it would make different people jump. One guy would touch on the throat, and he would say something, stick his tongue out real quick. He knew everybody that had any kind of little twitch like that would get them whenever he got a chance. He'd take a roll of tape and roll it down, and it'd come hit somebody in the foot, and they'd jump up in the air. He knew just which ones to do that to.
Was there anything at lunch times? I know a lot of groups on the line would get together and have Bible studies or cards or book clubs or, you know, different things like that. Was there anything that you were involved with at lunch times? You know, that outside of the norm?
Got to do with crossword puzzles. Different people. Played cribbage for a while. Some kind of card game, but I don't remember what it was. We'd play at lunchtime. Different crews would play. After a while, there would be a computer sometimes. You'd play games on it. I learned that solitaire is not really solitaire in skilled trades because everybody helps you when you're doing it. You don't really play it alone.
Did you guys have dinners and things like that where you guys would celebrate maybe somebody's birthday?
Retirement dinners we had a lot.
Retirement dinners.
Ended up probably the last 6 or 8 years helping organize them, ordering the food, deciding what to do, and then getting paper plates and collected money for it.
A retirement dinner was something that most of the employees would go through. You would contact their family members and have them come in for the day. And
somebody else actually did that part, but yeah.
So they were able to see where their family member worked and the friends that they had.
Family and some of their friends and their wives usually came in, and they'd take them around to see different areas and visit with everybody.
Ken, I want to switch gears here and ask you a couple of questions about your time here at General Motors. From the time you started, obviously you're an educated individual. What made you stay at GM versus going back into education? As a tradesman, until here recently, I'm sure, you had to work overtime. And I want you to talk about the overtime that you worked, the days on the weekend, if it was Saturdays and Sundays. And I'd also like to know about the benefits that you have now versus those when you came in, the differences in those benefits.
I don't think the health insurance is as good as it used to be. Used to be, if you had Blue Cross, you were covered. But now you got to make sure the right person does it, and you've got to check ahead of time if they're even going to pay it or find out how much you have to pay. I don't think it's the same as it used to be. When I hired in September, I thought I'd be back teaching school by Christmas. You know, so I didn't ever get back.
Never either.
Never made it back. No. For one thing, I was making more money. And then when I got off onto the trades and got rid of some of the boredom of the 60-an-hour stuff, it was even better. But I did work a lot of overtime. I've gone 5 or 6 years and 1 or 2 days off, 3 days off a month maybe. Worked 7 days. Just automatically.
At the height of your overtime, what would you say was the most you made yearly? What's your yearly salary would have been?
Right around $80,000, $85,000 maybe.
It's kind of hard to beat, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of hard to beat that money.
Yeah. Changeovers. Were you working changeovers as well? where have we come from where we used to be with changeover to a rolling changeover? Can you talk about that?
When I first worked production, we always got time off in the summer. You get 4 to 6 weeks off. I'd go to Florida and visit the wife's family and come back. The garden's all weeds, of course. And probably after I got 4 years in, and then I, part of the getting on the trades was you could work a changeover. And I worked like 10 weeks or 7 days a week with electricians as a helper. Bought my wife a real nice guitar and a case with some of that money. Remember that. But that's sort of how I got on. I took the, they have a test you take, and then when I worked the changeover, I could take the test again, and I got all the points I could get on it the second time. And then I think I waited another year or two before they added enough people on so I could get on. What was the other part of that? There's more than that question, too.
We talked about the benefits parts already. You pretty much covered
the difference in the changeovers, what the changeovers are like now.
Oh. Oh, changeovers are shorter now. Rolling changeovers is really all good. But once you're on the trades, that's, you don't get the time off anyway. That's when you have to work more, so. I don't know what the new plan would be like. If they're going to work 5 days, 3 shifts, it seems like we're going to have to work weekends, but you always hear them yelling too about they don't want to pay overtime, so I don't know what they're going to do. It's hard to compare because the last 5 years, I don't think they did much maintenance in this building anyway. They let it go, let it go, let it go. Unless it was going to stop the line, they didn't do it. Saying they're not going to do that at the new plant. They're going to keep things running good. But money gets tight, they cut trades. They cut your overtime. Just let it go until it breaks. Until it starts to hurt them. And then, oh, we've got to work you guys now. Kind of a cycle thing that they go through. Or you get a new manager and he's going to save a bunch of money by not working skilled trades. It works for a little while. Everything falls in a basket somewhere, and they say, no, we can't do that. Usually that manager's gone by then, so a new manager comes in and he takes the brunt of all the overtime he's got to work to get caught up again.
So am I hearing you say that there are times when your preventative maintenance schedule comes around and you didn't perform that duty?
That's true. There'll be things. When you did your inspection, it would be on the list this time, it was on the list last time, it was on the list before that. This didn't get on the list to be done. They've done a lot of that.
Did you ever do anything special for somebody? Did they, somebody ask a favor of you, either from production or some project that they were doing at home that you were able to help them with through the, you know, the knowledge of your trade?
Yeah, I've done things like that. I had a buddy that wired his own garage, and I'll turn the lights on, they were all just a little glow. He wired them in series instead of in parallel, so you get a little voltage at each one, and you don't have any light, really. It's kind of funny. Another friend wired a switch up, and he put the hot wire on one side of the switch and the neutral on the other, and every time he threw the switch, it broke the breaker. It never did go to the light or wherever it was going to. There was always somebody needing an extension cord. Somebody's machine didn't do quite like they thought it should, so you'd go watch it, see if you could make it work better for them. Or the coffee pot they plugged in kept blowing the breaker, so you found a new circuit for it, so it didn't blow the breaker. Or they needed a bunch of power because they were going to fry up a bunch. We used to, they do make BLTs every now and then. They get 10 pounds of bacon, a bunch of tomatoes and lettuce, and a bunch of toasters going. And you have to make sure you had enough circuits to hold all that.
The important things in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it a common occurrence here to have people bring in a lot of items and have...
Cook.
breakfasts or lunches or
yeah,
things like
it's
that?
Quite common. Get together and cook something and all eat together. Everybody either chip in some money or bring something or help get it ready. That was fun. Paint shop did a lot of that. I did quite a bit of apprentice time in the paint shop. They were always celebrating somebody's birthday here, or somebody's bringing a cake in. DeLuca's Pizza. Can't beat that.
That was the easy way out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
My favorite.
Throw in and...
That was the easier retirement dinner, was the pizza.
Jim, talk about how long it took you in apprenticeship to finish your apprenticeship and finally get your car.
I did the 4-year apprenticeship in about 3 1/4 years, I think. Because we had lots of overtime during that time. When I did the apprenticeship, you worked your 8 hours and you did went to school in the evening. Or if you were on the afternoon shift, you could go to school in the daytime. But the way they do it now, they just leave work, go to school, come back to work. It's a little different. It really wasn't, the classes you had to take wasn't as structured when I went either. We went over there and took a bunch of electronics classes that weren't even on the list at the time. Somebody okayed it. I guess now they got a more fixed program for what classes you have to take, when you have to take them. Tightened up a little bit. Probably some people in there didn't take what they should have, so they decided they had to get the reins on that. But at that time, you went to LCC and took your classes at night. There was another 2 electricians and a pipe fitter and I all kind of ended up over there at the same time. Go grab a bite to eat after work and get to class after that. Get together and study some.
Talk to me about your future, the future of Lansing Delta Township plant. What's your feeling about the future of the old Fisher Body employees, especially the tradesmen, going into LDT?
I know they're going to try to run lean. They're going to try to do what they always did to production. They're going to run with so few people they can't run, and then they'll decide to have to have more than that. They've never done that with trades pretty much before. They kept enough trades on to do the job. But I think some of the plans that they have, they're saying they want to rotate people around, and they're not going to have enough extra people to be able to do that, so I don't know how they're going to do that part. They are doing the training, sending a lot of people to all the schools. That'll help.
Do you feel as an employee from this plant moving into a new plant that we're fortunate to be in that situation?
Oh, yeah. Real fortunate to have a job to go to instead of being out there in the area higher or wondering where you're going to have to move to make a living. The tradespeople that try to work in teams, but tradespeople have worked in teams forever. They problem solve forever. That's our job. But they'll send us to the same schools that they send production to. If you have a problem on the lines down, you're not going to go make a graph or make a flow chart and try to figure it out. They want to go in right now. So some of that really doesn't apply, except for maybe a long-range problem. But we've done that before. Tradespeople, yeah. Probably production has too. If it's something that's bugging them on a job, they're going to try to get it changed. What's weird for me is they keep saying that we've got the best trades people and the best production people of the whole world, and now they want to say, but you can't do it the way you used to. We're going to take this Japanese GMS stuff and you're going to do it that way. Whether it works or not, we'll see, I guess. How can you be so good and now you got to do it different? That's like patting on the back and kicking in the ass at the same time. You know what's up. But you play the game.
Oh, sure.
But since you were into the building maintenance and that arena. How do you feel about what's going on around us at this point, with the plant closing down and everything being removed? And you know, what's your feelings about that?
It's just kind of sad to see it go. But you realize there's going to be a day when you drive down Berlin and the building's not even going to be here. That, I think that's when it's really going to hit you. That's something happened different. It's gone. It's just the end of an era, I guess. Start over again somewhere new. Make it work like we made this work.
What was your funniest moment? Did you have a moment either on assembly or in trades that was humorous enough to that you hold with you? Something that happened was funny.
Other than that belly button check, I guess that's what it stuck in my mind, and all the people that John Phelps would make jump and wiggle and giggle and move around because they were twitchy. Pretty much all that sticks in my mind. Again.
Can you share your happiest and your saddest moment of being in this facility?
I guess I don't know what that would be.
Might not have had one.
I don't know. I can't think of one right now.
Did you attend union meetings as a...
Just some of the special skilled trades ones where they had information for votes coming up. I know I went over there with... his name was Art. Art Procious. They just called him Art the Old Fart. I went over to one of those meetings with him, and I walked in with him. So I just... And he followed right up for front and grabbed one of those... Bolt things and filled it out and set it down and left, so I did the same thing, missed the whole meeting. A lot of the meetings for that kind of thing were bickering and stuff. Yeah, they just handed out an information sheet, I could have made the vote without listening to everybody's bitch about it, but we sat through quite a few of them. I know when they used to have Weimers in the body shop that did the welder maintenance, and it was separate from electricians. And we voted 3-4 times. We kept voting until we voted the way management wanted to, which was to get rid of Weimers and add just electricians, which has burned them a little bit, but that's the way they wanted it. Because when you lost the Weimers, then you lost the electricians, couldn't touch the water and pipe feeding stuff. And you had to have a pipe fitter and an electrician, and somebody else, maybe a toolie or something, to do one job, or Weimer did it, all that. One group. Somebody in management decided they didn't want it. The union must have went along with it because we kept voting until we voted it out.
Just couldn't get it right, huh?
Yeah.
Now, those Weimers, they came out of a different facility. We didn't have Weimers in Lansing originally, is that right? Didn't they bring those guys out of Laurel Run?
We had Weimers here when I hired in, but I don't think it was... Principal trade. I don't know where the Weimers had come from. I know they brought electricians in and they took Weimer jobs, but we didn't really have Weimer apprentices. And then some people we got from other places were Weimers by trade, and they just made them electricians, I guess. Waved them on and said, "No, you're an electrician." Some of them actually had to be trainees for a while.
What is a Weimer?
Welder maintenance.
Welder
they worked on everything from the transformer or something down to the end of the weld gun. They worked on the water, they worked on the electrical part, and whatever needed to be done to keep the welder welding.
What would you say to somebody that's just hiring into General Motors, if they got the opportunity, what would your message be to a new person in trades?
New person in trades. I'd just try to work as safe as you can and some people, too, that are in trades don't get along with production people. I don't know why they do that. And production people know that, too. I don't know if they think they're better than they are or what, but pretty soon production, when you go up to machines down, there's a guy there that runs it all day long. It didn't make no sense. He could tell you what's wrong with it. He can usually tell you how to fix it if you listen, but some people, they don't want anybody telling them their job because they're an electrician. But just work with people, I guess. Be open-minded. They're going to keep training you. They're going to keep getting new stuff. It keeps it kind of exciting, I guess. Keep going.
Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add to your interview? It's been wonderful, and I just wonder, did we miss anything that you would have liked to share?
Just been great working here, pretty much. It's after you've been here a while, there's waves of we're going to do this, and another wave we're going to do that, and then it's dropped, and now the new wave is GMS, and how far they go with it, we'll find out. I think the place runs because of the people who want to make the job better. I don't think it runs because of anything management does. Everybody, production's got a problem, you go try to help them with it if you can, and it ends up making things better. I think it's a big secret. It's just mostly people working together.
Well, thanks a lot, Ken. It's been a pleasure interviewing you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ken.